Greater love than this no one has, that one lays down his life for his friends. These words of Jesus are found in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 15, verse 3. Dear friends in Christ, the word Molokai was so horrible in the middle of the 19th century that people hesitated even to use it. As a matter of fact, the peninsula is extending out to the south from Molokai had such a stench, such a horrible odor, that when ships went by, even as much as 100 miles away, they would provide women with pomanders to put by their nose. They would encourage men to smoke a cigar just to deaden the horrible odor coming from that peninsula off the island of Molokai. The reason, of course, was that it was probably something that resembled hell on earth. It was the place where they dumped lepers. Leprosy, which is now called Hansen's disease, was through the centuries an object of horror, superstition, and thought to be incurable, and thought also it is to some extent contagious, but not as bad as it was thought to be. But leprosy was quite rampant throughout all of the Pacific Islands, and especially the Hawaiian Islands. And so in those days, the Hawaiian country was an independent country. The United States hadn't taken it yet. It was a law that anyone who had leprosy had to be dumped there on this peninsula off the island of Molokai. And no matter age, gender, whatever, they were just dumped. There was no way to get there except by sea, because there was a mountain range that kept the peninsula. You couldn't get over it and go into the actual big island of Molokai. And the place became a hellhole. The people dumped their living dead. The deformities and the filth and all the terrible things that accompanied leprosy were there. People felt doomed to die. They were left there to shift for themselves. It was just a dreadful place. The corpses weren't buried. People died. Pigs and dogs rooted among the dead bodies left out there. The people, because they were despondent, and many of them absolutely pagan, they lived lives of sexual promiscuity, and it was the most horrible place you could imagine. There was a Catholic missionary who was a Belgian farm boy. His name was, from baptism, Joseph. He became a religious. His name was Damien de Vister. And he was a missionary to the Hawaiian Islands. And he was heard about this and went by with a ship and smelt the horrible odor coming from Molokai. And he wanted to go there. And he begged his religious superior, begged the Bishop of Honolulu, to let him go. And they all said, no, you can't go there. It's too bad. It was a strict law in the Hawaiian Islands that anyone who went to Molokai could never get off. Once you got on the peninsula, you couldn't get off on pain of death. You couldn't ever leave because they considered leprosy to be so contagious and whatever, and such a horrible disease. There were a lot of superstitions that it was a result of immoral living and so on. And leprosy was a living death. Sometimes body parts would be putrefying even with maggots in them while the people were still living. It was a terrible thing. But anyway, he wanted to go there. Father Damien begged to go there. And finally they gave in and let him go. And he knew he was had a wonderful family. He was the second youngest of eight children in Belgium. And he knew that he could never go home. He wrote beautiful, touching letters to his mom and dad, telling them that they wouldn't see each other in this world, but they would meet again in eternity. And he went to Molokai. And in the years he was there, transformed the place. It was one of the first things he did was start cutting down trees. He begged the government to send some tools and some food and some medicine and some decent things. They cut down trees to make coffins so they could bury the dead, killing and chasing off the dogs and pigs. And he persuaded the people to give up sexual immorality, to live decent lives. He told them about the promised happiness that God has waiting for them in heaven, converted them all to the Catholic faith, built little houses, and he made sure they formed decent families and raised their children properly. He also persuaded them to give some of their effort to building a chapel, a beautiful church, still stands there till this day, and transformed the place. By begging and pleading and doing everything he could, he got some help from the government. They would dump things on the beach there. He got some timbers and other things for building materials, some tools so that they could do some work there. He got them planting gardens, and he was able to provide them with decent nourishment. He taught the people the necessity of cleanliness, physical cleanliness, but also spiritual cleanliness, and did great work. And the people loved him, and it was obscure. Nobody knew much about it. Until one day, he always would hear confessions on Saturday afternoon, and then he'd do a few hours of manual labor, and he'd always try to take a rest. They had to make their own shoes because they didn't have any decent shoes, and so they would use leather that they themselves cured from the cattle that they had. And they would, his feet bothered him a great deal, so he would always bathe his feet, give himself a hot foot bath on Saturday evening before Sunday masses. And he did this that particular Saturday evening. He noticed something. He didn't realized the water was still boiling. It was scalding hot, but he didn't feel anything. Aha. He had contracted leprosy himself. So the next day in his homily at Mass, he always began, "My dear lepers." He began with the beautiful phrase, "My fellow lepers." And he knew that his disease was fatal and that he had contracted leprosy. Somehow, the word got out. The word got out, and he became an incredible hero throughout the world, that this horrible hellhole called Molokai, where no one wanted to go, with these wretched, forlorn people who were doomed physically in every other way. And he was able to go there, and in that heroic gesture, contracted leprosy himself, which, of course, was fatal. And So he became quite famous throughout the world. And one of the people who immediately was struck by his heroism was a Cistercian brother who was at Gethsemane, the Trappist monastery in Kentucky. His name was Brother Dunton. And he went to join him. And then there were four religious sisters. One is a canonized saint, Mary Ann Cope. She was born in Germany, but they were from Syracuse, New York. They decided to go there too. Robert Louis Stevenson, who lived out there in the Pacific in his retirement, the famous English author, Treasure Island and Kidnapped and all his famous novels, he was there on the ship when they were getting off to go to Molokai. He wrote very beautifully about how he saw the tears in their eyes as they realized this was where they're going to have to spend their life and die, because there's no way anyone could ever get off of that peninsula. But anyway, Father Damien transformed the place, and with the help later on of the sisters and Brother Dutton, he was able even to persuade some heroic doctors to come there and to try to help. In those days, they couldn't do very much. They didn't have antibiotics and penicillin, those things that now can be used for Hansen's disease. But they did go there to work and to help him, especially in his dying. They took some photographs of him, and it was one of the most moving things in the world that Father Damien became this kind of worldwide hero. There were some Protestants had been making great inroads in the Hawaiian Islands, especially through the Dole Company that owned these big pineapple plantations. And they were condemning him, saying he was immoral and all the rest of it. Robert Louis Stevenson wrote a very famous letter defending Father Damien. He said, "I'm a Protestant too, but you're an embarrassment to the Protestants, and you're sitting there drinking tea out of fancy teacups, and this poor man is living in this wretched hovel and doing this heroism for these people." At any rate, Father Damien died and was buried there next to the chapel that he and his fellow lepers had built. But because he was so famous, Belgium asked to get his body back. And at that, by that time, the United States had already acquired the Hawaiian Islands. And so President Roosevelt ordered the USS Republic, one of our battleships, to bring his body to the Panama Canal, where it was picked up by a battleship from the Belgian Navy and brought back to Belgium. And his body, a little small portion of his hand, is still buried in the cemetery there in at Molokai. But his body was brought back to Louvain, the University of Louvain, where it's now entombed till this day. And above his beautiful sepulcher are those words of Jesus, "Greater love than this no one has, that one lays down his life for his friends." And so Father Damien is indeed a great hero of someone who truly represented what Christian love means and stands for. Love is one of the most abused and misunderstood words today, as we all know. It sometimes can be confused with emotion, sentiment, ardor, passion, desire. These things can be good. They can accompany love, but they can also be disguises for selfishness. True love, if these things are there or they're not there, true love is represented by sacrifice, by giving. So Jesus said, "God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son." And that's why Jesus said the words that are above Father Damien's tomb, Saint Damien. They say, "Greater love than this no one has." And so we measure love by sacrifice. We give in proportion as we love. And so when love is perfect, the sacrifice is complete. So Father Damien represents, I think, one of those beautiful and magnificent illustrations of what love means and what love stands for. He gave himself with incredible generosity, fully aware of what he was doing. A simple farm boy from a large family there in Belgium, and yet this great hero and a great saint now interceding for all of us. There is a movement, I don't think it'll be successful, but the Diocese of Honolulu wants to get his body back from Belgium. I'm not sure the Belgians are anxious to give it up. But it, whatever, he lives in our hearts and in the history of our country. His statue, covered with leprosy, is in the statuary hall of our United States Capitol, put there by the state of Hawaii. And so we want to think of him today on his feast day and to remember that only a life that is turned with the face toward Christ can endure what he endured, can cheerfully and joyfully undertake a task that is on its face disgusting and repulsive, to be with these dreadful people. And he did it for the love of God. Many years later, it was, I think, just after the Second World War, a group of American medical people were touring facilities, third world medical facilities, and they were in Malaysia. And they went to a leprosarium where some nuns from Ireland were taking care of lepers, now Hansen's disease, and they're much easier to take care of because of advances in medicine. But nonetheless, it was disgusting. These people came in from the woods and from the forests there, and they would have the leprosy sometimes for years. And one doctor walking by saw this sister. She was scraping out the maggots from the legs of this, putrefying legs of this patient that came in there, and they were going to wash him and so on. He leaned over and said, "Sister, I wouldn't do that for $100,000. She said, "Doctor, neither would I. I do this for the love of God." And I think that represents, in a certain sense, what Father Damien also did. I don't do this for money, for fame, for nothing. I do this for the love of God. And it's that love that we have to pray that God puts into our hearts so that we can be maybe not quite as heroically self-sacrificing as Father Damien, as Saint Damien de Vister, but that we can also put at least a fraction of that kind of self-giving so that we will say when we come to Judgment Day, and stand before Jesus, that we tried to understand more fully and put into our lives his words, greater love than this no one has, that one lays down his life for his friends. Amen.